Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking on a pretty fascinating piece of strategic architecture, the CMA Ravimanga GSA framework tool.
Right.
Our mission here is to really just map out its components, understand the logic and figure out why it's designed the way it is.
And specifically for that top level of leadership.
Exactly. This isn't just some static document. It feels more like a dynamic knowledge system.
It is.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with that name, it's a bit of a mouthful. CMA, for instance. What's the context there, and what does GSA actually stand for?
So the CMA part is important. It suggests a background in, certified management accounting.
Okay.
So it's grounded in rigorous financial and management principles. It tells you right away, this isn't just abstract theory.
It's about measurable outcomes.
Exactly. And GSA, well, that's the core of the whole thing. The source material is clear. It stands for growth, synergy, and competitive advantage.
Growth, synergy, competitive advantage.
And this is significant because it forces you to categorize every single idea into one of those three buckets.
It's like a filter.
You could almost call it a strategic spell check, It ensures every action has a really clear purpose.
I like that. A strategic spell check. And you can see it's interactive, right? You're not just reading a paper. You're filtering this whole universe of strategy by those three dimensions.
And by leadership role.
And by leadership role, which is critical. It means the insight you get is targeted right to your
It's
desk.
instantly relevant.
Let's spend a little more time on those dimensions.
Yeah.
Besides the all option, you have GSA. Let's start with the one everyone kind of gets right away. Growth. What does that mean here?
So growth is really the engine of expansion. It's everything to do with increasing scale.
Like market penetration, new products.
Market penetration, revenue, new geographies, all of that. It's outward facing. It's answering the question, how do we get bigger?
Okay, classic external focus. But then the next one, synergy. That feels like the complete opposite. It's an internal focus.
Precisely. Synergy is all about optimization, about internal connection. It's making sure that 1 + 1 = 3 inside the business.
When you combine departments or maybe two companies you acquired.
Exactly. You're trying to find that combined value. So the question it answers is, how do we work better together?
Which usually means efficiency, getting rid of duplication.
Shared services, all that good stuff.
And then the last pillar, competitive advantage. This sounds like it's about staying on top.
It is. This dimension is purely focused on building a moat around the business.
A moat.
Right. It asks, how do we make sure our position can't be copied or eroded? So a report under this filter would focus on things like IP, brand positioning, supply chains,
Things that are hard for competitors to replicate.
the barriers to entry.
Hang on a second, though. If you boil everything down to just growth, synergy, and competitive advantage, what about, I don't know, risk or compliance? Those are huge.
That is an excellent question, and it really gets to the core of why this structure is so powerful.
So they're not just forgotten.
Not at all. They're baked into each dimension. See, if risk was its own separate category, you might treat it as this abstract thing.
A problem for the risk department.
Right. But by integrating it, the tool forces you to think about, say, growth risk.
Ah, so the risk associated with a specific growth initiative.
Exactly. If you're expanding into a new country, the risk isn't just global risk, it's the specific compliance challenge of that market. The structure makes sure every single piece of analysis is tied to an actionable outcome.
I see. So it grounds everything. It's not just a floating concern.
It's functional.
Which I guess brings us to the next point. If you have the right buckets, you need to get the right information to the right person. And here's where it gets really interesting, because the tool is built to customize reports for specific C-suite roles.
Which is just a reflection of reality, isn't it? A CEO has to care about everything, sure. But the chief marketing officer needs very different data than, say, the chief legal officer.
Even if they're both working on growth.
Especially if they're both working on growth.
Okay, so the source material lists eight specific roles. Let's just run through them quickly.
Sure.
You've got the foundational ones, the CEO, the CFO, and the COO. No surprises there.
Big three.
Then you get the operational specialists, CTO for tech, CHRO for people, and the CMO for marketing and customers.
And that's where the real precision comes in, because the last two are critical for, let's say, systemic health.
You mean the CSO, the chief strategy officer, and the CLO, the chief legal officer?
Yes, the CSO synthesizes everything and the CLO protects everything.
I have to pause on that list. Targeting the CLO, the legal officer, in a strategy tool built around growth just.
Oh,
it feels a little counterintuitive.
How so?
Well, doesn't it risk overcomplicating things, making the report so narrow that you lose the big picture?
I see the doubt, but I'd argue the opposite. Including the CLO is actually a sign of a very mature framework.
Okay, explain that.
I mean, in today's world, legal strategy is competitive strategy. Think about it. For a CEO, growth means a bigger market cap. For a CLO, growth means protecting the patents that allow you to grow, or handling the regulations that come with it. It's about protecting the method of growth.
So they're looking at the same goal, just through a completely different lens.
A completely different and highly specialized lens. If the CTO runs a growth report, they get data on server capacity.
In tech debt?
Sure. But if the CLO runs that exact same growth report, the tool will have to deliver insights on IP portfolio management or data security compliance.
It's cutting through the noise.
That's its entire value proposition. It delivers only what that person needs to act on now.
That makes a lot of sense. Specialized action, not just general information.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the output itself, the report. I select my dimension, say competitive advantage, and my role. Let's say CFO. What do I get?
You get a report structured into five distinct fields. It's like a funnel.
A knowledge funnel.
Yeah.
Okay, the first two fields set the stage. Dimension and factor area. What's a factor area?
The factor area is the subfield. So if the dimension is growth, the factor area might be market penetration or product innovation.
It's the first layer of detail.
Exactly. It tells you which part of that big goal you're looking at.
And after that, the report gets into the real data. The third field is detailed elements.
Right. And this is the engine room. This is where the granular data lives, the specific metrics, the market stats, the raw numbers.
So the weeds.
The essential weeds, yes. If your factor area is geographic expansion, the detailed elements are things like local tax rates or consumer data for that specific region.
Got it. So we go from broad to narrow to microscopic. What's next?
After the raw data, you get the key considerations.
Okay, what are those?
This is the pivot point. This is where the tool says, okay, here's the data, but before you do anything, stop and think about this.
So it's about trade-offs, potential roadblocks.
Prerequisites, critical questions you have to ask. It turns all that raw data into actual reflective insight.
And that leads to the final field, which I think is probably the most valuable part of this whole thing. The decision-making approach.
This is absolutely the key innovation. This is what separates it from just another consulting deck.
Because it's prescriptive.
It's prescriptive. It's not just a map showing you where the problems are. It's the GPS giving you a route around them.
So it's not just here's the analysis. It's here's how to think about acting on it.
Yes. It might suggest a sequence for approvals or a specific review cycle or a risk protocol. It gives a busy executive a structured path forward. It's gold.
That move from descriptive data to a prescriptive approach is, well, it's clearly the whole point.
It is.
And the source material mentions one more layer to this for those who want to go deeper. There's a subscription element.
Right, which makes sense.
It promises to unlock things like detailed framework insights and fully tailored action plans.
Which just reinforces that value proposition we were talking about. The structure we've outlined is the blueprint.
But the subscription gives you the actual construction materials.
Exactly. It's designed to bridge that huge gap between strategy, the what, and execution, which is the how we do it right now. That's what turns knowledge into a real advantage.
So what does this all mean?
Well,
it means we're looking at a system built for efficiency. It organizes the entire strategic world into three dimensions: growth, synergy, competitive advantage.
Forcing a functional analysis.
It targets 8 C-suite leaders to make sure the data is relevant.
Super customized.
And then every single output moves you through that 5-part funnel from the tiny data points right up to a prescriptive decision-making approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a machine built to deliver strategic insight that is fast, precise, and maybe most importantly, actionable.
And that structure leaves us with a great final thought for you to take away and chew on.
Okay.
We've established that the tool provides a decision-making approach for every combination of dimension and leader. So let's take one we discussed, the CHRO focusing on synergy.
The people leader focused on making the company work better together.
Exactly. So what strategic question do you think the framework would prioritize for them? Would the decision-making approach focus on, say, physically moving teams together to improve communication?
Sure.
Or would it focus on something more systemic, like aligning different departmental bonus structures to make people want to collaborate across the organization?
That's a great question.
Being able to answer that specific question for that specific combination, That shows you just how deep this rabbit hole of actionable strategy really goes.
Excellent food for thought. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the structure and logic of the GSA framework tool.
My pleasure.
Keep exploring.